வெல்கம் டு அனதர் எபிசோட் ஆஃப் சர்ஜிக்கல் எஜுகேட்டர் பாட்காஸ்ட். ஐ ஆம் யுவர் ஹோஸ்ட் ஆர் மாஸ்டர் ஆஃப் செரிமனி ஃபார் திஸ் எபிசோட். டுடே வி ஆர் கோயிங் டு டிஸ்கஸ் இன்ஃப்ளமேட்டரி பவல் டிசீஸ் ஆர் ஐபிடி, ஸ்பெசிஃபிக்கலி கிரான்ஸ் டிசீஸ் அண்ட் அல்சரேட்டிவ் கொலைட்டிஸ். தீஸ் கண்டிஷன்ஸ் ஆர் நாட் ஓன்லி சிக்னிஃபிகண்ட் காசஸ் ஆஃப் லோவர் ஜிஐ ப்ளீடிங் பட் ஆல்சோ போஸ் யூனிக் சேலஞ்சஸ் இன் டயக்னோசிஸ் அண்ட் மேனேஜ்மெண்ட். ஜாயினிங் அஸ் டுடே இஸ் ப்ரொஃபஸர் டாக்டர் செல்வராஜ், அன் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் ஜென்ரல் அண்ட் பீடியாட்ரிக் சர்ஜன். வெல்கம் டாக்டர் செல்வராஜ். தேங்க் யூ ஃபார் ஹேவிங் மீ எம்சி. ஐ ஆம் எக்ஸைட்டட் to discuss these important topics to provide insights for our medical audience. Let us start with the basics, doctor. What exactly are inflammatory bowel diseases? Well, inflammatory bowel diseases or IBD are chronic inflammatory conditions of GI tract. The two main types are Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. They involve the immune system mistakenly attacking the digestive tract, leading to inflammation and various symptoms. Good doctor, what is the etiology of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis? The exact cause is unknown, but it is believed to involve a combination of genetic, environmental, and immunological factors. In Crohn's disease, inflammation can occur anywhere along the digestive tract, while ulcerative colitis specifically affects colon and rectum. Genetic, the IBD1 locus on chromosome 16 is strongly associated with Crohn's disease. Association with HLA-DR2 in case of ulcerative colitis. Environmental factors, infective agents implicated are measles virus and Mycobacterium paratuberculosis. Cigarette smoking and intake of refined sugars are also other environmental factors. Immunological abnormal immune response to gut microorganism and autoimmunity against colonic epithelial cells. Good doctor, what are the pathological features of both Crohn's and ulcerative colitis? Well, I will describe them first for Crohn's disease and then ulcerative colitis. For Crohn's disease, the macroscopic pictures are, number one, classically segmental with areas of normal bowel separating areas of involved bowel. These are skip lesions. Number two, thickening of the intestinal wall, which becomes firm and rigid. Number three, encroachment of mesenteric fat into the bowel. These are called creeping fat. Number four, linear mucosal ulceration, which are very deep transmural. Number five, a cobblestone pattern of islands of surviving mucosa. And number six, deep linear ulceration, which I told already. Coming to the microscopic features of Crohn's disease, number one, transmural inflammation from mucosa to serosa. Number two, marked edema of submucosa. Number three, lymphoid aggregates present. Number four, patchy mucosal ulceration and fissuring. Number five, presence of non-caseating granulomas, which are found only in 60% of the cases. Coming to the macroscopic features of ulcerative colitis, number one, proctitis, inflammation of mucosa lining of rectum. Number two, colitis extending for a variable distance proximally from the rectum. Total colitis with or without backwash ileitis. Number three, the mucosal surface is ulcerated with areas of heaped regenerating mucosa called pseudopolyps. Number four, fistulae do not occur in ulcerative colitis. Microscopic features, number one, diffuse mixed inflammatory cell infiltrate. Number two, crypt abscess formation. Number three, distortion of glandular architecture. Number four, mucosal ulceration, which are very shallow and not deep. Well explained, doctor. What are the clinical features of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis? Both conditions share some common symptoms, including diarrhea, abdominal pain, and weight loss. However, there are differences. In Crohn's disease, you might see deeper ulcers and inflammation with skip lesions, whereas ulcerative colitis tends to involve continuously the colon and rectum. Crohn's disease, number one, three distinct types of disease are seen: inflammatory, stricturing, and perforating. Number two, patients are young and present with abdominal pain, weight loss, and diarrhea. Number three, abdominal pain is colicky. Some patients present with frequent bloody stools with mucus. These patients are indistinguishable from those with ulcerative colitis. Number four, extra-intestinal manifestations include erythema nodosum, pyoderma gangrenosum, uveitis, sacroiliitis, large joint involvement, and clubbing. Number five, perianal Crohn's disease. Rectal examination reveals evidence of ulceration, edematous skin tags, perianal abscess, and fistulization and stricture. Following are the clinical features of ulcerative colitis. Number one, clinical severity is extremely variable. Number two, frequent passage of blood-stained stools or diarrhea that contains mucus also. Number three, mild lower abdominal pain, fever, and tenesmus. Rectal examination reveals blood, and on sigmoidoscopy, there is evidence of proctitis. Number four, a severe attack, usually with pancolitis, results bloody diarrhea 10 to even 24 times a day, colicky lower abdominal pain, and weight loss. Number five, extra-intestinal features like pyoderma gangrenosum, erythema nodosum, scleritis, episcleritis, uveitis, iritis, ankylosing spondylitis, and sclerosing cholangitis. Well explained, doctor. How are Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis are diagnosed? Diagnosis involves a combination of medical history, discussing symptoms, family history and lifestyle, blood tests, checking for signs of inflammation, colonoscopy to visualize the colon and obtain biopsies for microscopic examination. Imaging studies such as CT or MRI to assess the extent and severity of inflammation. The Crohn's disease are diagnosed by the following investigation. Number one, colonic disease is best diagnosed by colonoscopy. The distribution of colitis is discontinuous with rectal sparing. Number two, terminal ileum can be visualized and biopsied to confirm small bowel disease. Number three, upper GI series with small bowel follow through or CT enterography may be useful in identifying small bowel involvement. Number four, definitive imaging of perineal disease may require examination under anesthesia with proctoscopy or sigmoidoscopy. Number five, transrectal ultrasonography and magnetic resonance imaging of the anal canal can also reveal perineal disease. Following are the investigations for ulcerative colitis. Number one, colonoscopy is a definitive imaging technique. A full examination to the cecum is performed. Visualization of the terminal ileum during colonoscopy to rule out Crohn's disease is a must. Number two, a barium enema is used less frequently in the imaging of ulcerative colitis, usually that shows lead pipe appearance or thumbprint sign and rose thorn appearance. These are classical radiological signs. Number three, up to 10% of patients, the differentiation between ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease may not be complete, and these colitis is thus labeled indeterminate colitis. What complication can arise from Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, doctor? Both conditions can lead to complications like gastrointestinal bleeding, a significant concern, especially in the context of our topic. Strictures and obstruction due to chronic inflammation and scarring. Perforation, a rare but serious complication. Colonic cancer, patients with long-standing ulcerative colitis have an increased risk. Crohn's disease patients will be having the following complication. Number one, intestinal obstruction. Number two, fistula formation. Number three, abscess formation. Number four, malabsorption syndrome. Number five, toxic megacolon. Number six, hemorrhage. Number seven, perianal complications. Number eight, gallstone because of reduction of enterohepatic circulation of the bile from terminal ileum. Following are the complications of ulcerative colitis. Number one, toxic dilatation. Number two, perforation. Number three, increased risk of colorectal cancer. Number four, electrolyte disturbances with severe diarrhea. What are the treatment options for Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis? Treatment aims to reduce inflammation, manage symptoms, and prevent complications. It includes medications like anti-inflammatory drugs, immunosuppressants, and biologics. Nutritional support, especially in Crohn's disease. Surgery in cases of severe complications or when medications are not effective. Coming to the medical treatment of Crohn's disease, number one, aim is symptom relief and maintenance of well-being. Patients should have a well-balanced diet and maintain weight. Number two, an acute flare-up of obstructive symptoms can be managed with a short, high-dose regimen of oral steroids. Number three, azathioprine may allow maintenance at a lower steroid dosage. Budesonide is an enteric coated steroid that is released into the terminal ileum, which avoids the side effect of oral steroids. Number five, in a patient with remission, sulfasalazine derivatives may also be used. Example, mesalazine and or pentasa. Number six, immune suppressants such as azathioprine and cyclosporine have been shown to be effective. Number seven, the anti-tumor necrosis factor antibody, that is infliximab, has been shown to promote healing in Crohn's disease. Coming to the surgical treatment of the Crohn's disease, surgery is used when drug therapy cannot achieve optimal relief. Ileocecal disease, resection to grossly normal bowel with primary anastomosis. Recurrence tends to occur. Number three, extensive colitis with rectal sparing, urgent colectomy with iliorectal anastomosis. Number four, segmental Crohn's colitis also lends itself to segmental resection and re-anastomosis. Number five, rectal Crohn's disease. Crohn's colitis require pan-proctocolectomy and the ileal pouch is not generally accepted because of the tendency of Crohn's disease to affect the pouch, leading to its failure. Coming to the medical treatment of ulcerative colitis, number one, medical management of stable patient consists of drug therapy. Such a patient may be maintained for months or years on minimal medication with occasional periods of high dose steroid therapy for exacerbation. Number two, 5-aminosalicylic acid induces remission and prevents recurrence, and it is the mainstay of treatment. Number three, anti-diarrheal drugs may be used to reduce bowel frequency. Number four, bowel rest and total parenteral nutrition are indicated in severe colitis. Number five, cyclosporine or tacrolimus are used for refractory colitis. Number six, azathioprine and 6-mercaptopurine are used to facilitate remission induced by cyclosporine. Number seven, anti-tumor necrosis factor antibody, infliximab, and monoclonal antibodies such as anti-interleukin-2 receptor antibody can be tried. Coming to the surgical treatment of ulcerative colitis, number one, most common indication is intractability of the disease and failure of medical management to control the symptoms. Number two, other indications include bleeding, perforation, toxic colonic dilatation, and infection. Number three, total proctocolectomy involves excising all of the colon, rectum, and anus with closure of perineal wound. A permanent right lower quadrant spouted ileostomy is created. Number 4, the ileal pouch. OWRS pouch or neorectum to replace diseased rectum offers the chance of cervical cure without the need for a permanent ileostomy. Number 5, the long-term sequelae include pouchitis, anastomotic stricture, pouch failure, and sexual dysfunction. What surgeries are commonly performed for Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis? Surgery may be considered only for complications like strictures, obstruction, or in case of uncontrolled bleeding. Common surgeries include bowel resection, removing the affected portion of the intestine, ileostomy or colostomy, creating a stoma to divert stool away from the affected area, colectomy, removal of the entire colon, which may be necessary in severe cases of ulcerative colitis. Thank you, Professor Dr. Selvaraj, for providing such a comprehensive insights into Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. This information is undoubtedly valuable for medical professionals at all stages of their careers. It has been a pleasure. I hope this discussion helps our audience better understand the complexity of inflammatory bowel diseases. Timely diagnosis and a multidisciplinary approach are crucial in managing these conditions. Absolutely, doctor. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Surgical Educator Podcast. Keep exploring the world of surgery. And until next time, stay curious. Bye-bye.